Guys, the first question I both want to ask you is, and especially being here in Washington, we're in the midst of a presidential election, as you both know, of course. Have you heard anything from either presidential candidate on the issue of gun control or guns on campus that's specifically struck a chord with either one of you? Colin, I know that I checked your Twitter page. Your father had some praise for Democratic Vice President Tim Kaine on CNN, so just wanted to hear if you guys have heard anything about that from Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, I mean, I think looking at the bigger picture, I mean, compared to previous election cycles, the gun issue has been something that has not been addressed and been touched, and people have run from. And now you're seeing a lot of more candidates embrace it and use it to motivate their base and mobilize voters. And I think that shows, you know, progress, that the politics of this issue is changing. And, yeah, I think, unfortunately, Donald Trump has said some very alarming things about guns in schools, about repealing the federal Gun-Free School Zones Act, and said that he would, you know, unsign Obama's executive actions around background checks. And that, to be frank, he could stand in the middle of Fifth Avenue and shoot somebody and not lose voters, I think, is appalling. So, you know, I think that they're, you know, the candidates are talking about this, and I think the vast majority of people, you know, don't like ideas like that and actually think reasonable measures like background checks make sense. So it's good to see people like Hillary Clinton using it and talking about it.
Amanda, I want to ask you, too, and if you have anything to comment on the presidential election, I'd certainly like to hear that. But I watched the documentary last night, and one thing that kind of struck me was that you had said the security office in near that parking garage, which was 50 feet away from you, was closed at 6 p.m. the night of the rape. What are some measures you think universities need to take across the country to make campuses safer and parking garage safer if indeed security offices are not going to be open 24 hours? What are some other measures that these campuses can take? Because you're absolutely right. Anybody can walk on these campuses. I know at Towson University where I went, anybody could. So what are some additional measures? Is it, you know, the blue boxes that they have lit up with the sirens that you can press? You know, just curious to hear your thoughts on that.
Addressing specifically the blue boxes, the call boxes, a call box directly above my head as I was being raped would have been no more help to me as the security was that night. As it is now, the parking garages, there are no cameras, so there's no recordings of the events that goes on. They're not very well lit. I think that schools need to allocate, if they're not going to allow students to effectively defend ourselves the way we want to, then they take on that responsibility and they need to extend the hours of campus police. They need to allow students to be escorted late at night from their campus from the buildings to their vehicles, and to ensure that everyone's safety is a top priority. If they're not going to allow for individuals to decide how they want to defend their bodies, if they're going to take that away, then they need to take appropriate measures.
And one of the appropriate measures that you guys found some common ground on when I did watch was training. Is there any additional really training, whether it's workshops on campuses, or what are some training options that these campuses can take for students and faculty alike that you think can prevent such tragedies that have happened?
Well, I think Colin and I had agreed that training for concealed carry, that, you know, like a universal standard for training would be something that is completely reasonable for something like that. But I would even say I was made to get my second degree black belt when I got my driver's license when I turned 16. And I think the self-defense workshops and stuff, while they're good, the only thing it does is minimize the risk. It's just risk reduction. It's not a guarantee that you're not going to be attacked on campus or anywhere else throughout your daily life. And at times it can even give a false sense of security and ability to be able to defend yourself effectively. So, Colin, if you have anything to add.
I would say that, you know, there are people who carry guns on college campuses today that I'm okay with. And there are people who have badges and are law enforcement officers and have routine training and accountability and all those things. And I don't know of any concealed carry system in any state in this country that is as rigorous as that. And I think that, you know, not only to improve campus safety, but safety generally everywhere that we allow concealed carry, I think those basic training standards should be raised. In fact, unfortunately, the trend is to move the opposite way. there's a bigger trend as states are considering to allow guns in more and more places. At the same time, they're also trying to get rid of the basic permitting and training standards called permitless carry or constitutional carry, for example. And I think the combination of those two is incredibly dangerous, because that could put a completely untrained individual in a college environment, which I think is unique. And as a result, create a college day, an average college day, that is much more dangerous for everybody involved.
Well, I think so, but it's assuming that a criminal isn't. Do you think that criminals are going to be effectively trained when they carry a firearm?
Well, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about licensed concealed carry holders, right? And so I think.
Well, yeah, we are. We are. But the argument is that generally speaking, all of the concealed carry permit holders I know, we take our training very seriously, and it's a responsibility that we don't take lightly. It's a decision that we don't take lightly. It's something that we discuss and that we wrestle with ourselves about the implications of carrying a firearm. And so the idea that, taking away the necessity for all training, the idea that no one's going to get trained or fewer people are going to get trained, I don't think is really going to happen. And the idea, I think the idea that people have as far as with Constitution carry is that a criminal isn't going to go through the proper channels to be able to carry a firearm anyways. And so why make it less difficult for a law-abiding citizen to be able to effectively defend themselves?
Well, I mean, I know a lot of gun owners like yourself, who are very responsible, who spend a lot of time at the range, and that kind of verbal general knowledge assurance is nice. But when we're talking about changing laws, I think this conversation would be very differently if you put some of those assurances, some of those basic training standards into the law as well. And I think that would change this conversation to a very different place. But unfortunately, like I said, the conversation is not going in that direction. The conversation generally in this country is going to no training whatsoever. And I think that is a law that I think is very dangerous.